The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
In this podcast, you're going to hear raw emotion the night of the boat crash. We made the editorial decision not to censor the language, but we want to warn you, it's strong from dashcam and 911 calls. These are upset and frightened and angry kids.
Engine 3, respond to a water emergency.
The location is going to be down Malecon Drive right before you get to the traffic circle.
The Russell Bell Bridge?
Yes.
Maybe they just in the wrong slot or stuff. I don't know.
We had a boat crash into the bridge is what they're telling us. They're talking so much. We got it in at the Paris Island Bridge.
Dispatch 804. I'm en route. That water emergency call at the Bell Bridge.
Do you have an EPS?
I've got one boat that's saying now getting ready to drop in. The second one's leaving the squad, though. So about 5 minutes will be at work.
6 foot gash, like it's really split open from the nose all the way 6 foot back.
Yeah, man. I mean, shit. What's your name?
Hey, what's your last name, buddy?
Murdaugh.
M-U.
R-D-A-U-G-H.
Okay, what's your first name?
Paul.
Paul P-A-U-L.
Mom, there's 50 cops here, Coast Guard, everything. We can't find Mallet.
We're following a developing story, this one out of Colleton County.
It's 4147 Moselle Road. I've been up to it now. It's bad.
Double homicide involving a mother and son.
Both deaths resulting from apparent gunshot wounds.
In this town, nobody questioned the Murdochs for 100 years.
You know, powerful people make powerful enemies.
You commit a murder in the 14th Circuit, the odds of you going to death row are high.
From the studios of WCIV, ABC News 4 in Charleston, this is the podcast Unsolved South Carolina, case file number one, the Murdochs. February 24th, 2019. It's sometime after 2 a.m. on a cold, foggy Sunday morning near Beaufort, South Carolina. Six young people in a boat have just crashed straight into a bridge after a night of drinking, and one of the teens is missing.
Mom, y'all need to come to Beaufort quick. We hit a bridge in the boat. Connor's fucked up. Connor's messed up bad. We can't find Mallory. Morgan's messed up bad. We can't find Mallory, Mom.
The kids are friends. Miley Altman, her boyfriend Connor Cook, Morgan Doty, and her boyfriend Paul Murdoch, and Anthony Cook and his girlfriend, Mallory Beach. My colleagues will read their written statements so you know exactly what was going through their minds and what they said happened that terrible night. In our last episode, we shared what was happening just before the crash.
I'm pretty sure I said watch out or like something like that, but like I screamed it like I was like, you know, but I think like I even like stood up before, like right like a second before we hit, just because like I was trying to like, you know, like brace myself, like hold on to something, and I just don't remember like what I did like exactly, but I remember just like looking forward, like seeing the boat like when it sped off to go to the bank.
Underage drinking, Paul's increasingly erratic behavior, tempers flaring, his terrified friends begging Paul to let someone else drive. The moments after Paul's boat crashes, it's utter chaos, too. No one even knows where they are.
Was there any light around at all? Just pitch black dark.
Here's Miley telling police what she remembers. This interview was recorded at the police station.
I mean, I could see, like, you know, the water and, like, the bridge, like, underneath the bridge, but that's pretty much it.
Okay.
And then, like, you could see, like, the light from the road all the way up there.
Anthony, Mallory, and Paul are violently ejected into the water. The tide is ripping.
The current was going fast enough that by the time I even realized that I was in the water, and the current was taking me.
As Paul clings to a nearby piling, a disoriented Anthony, he says he looks for his girlfriend, Mallory.
The next thing I know, I'm in the fucking water. I can't find her, man.
Scared, they'd been clinging to each other in the floor of the boat just before the crash.
Miley came running up to me, said, "What do you mean, where's Mallory?" And I said, "She's not up here?" And she said, "No."
And then Anthony was screaming in the water for Mallory, and that's when, like, I knew, like, something bad had happened, like that Mallory was missing.
In the aftermath, Miley checks on her boyfriend, Connor, who seriously hurt his jaw.
I remember waking up in the bottom of the boat, and my girlfriend woke me up asking me if I was all right. Paul and Anthony in the water and Morgan screaming. Her hand was bleeding.
Miley says Paul also heads for Morgan, who's screaming in pain. It's her hand, but in the confusion, Paul thinks it's her head that's bleeding and tries to get to her.
He came back short and he tried to help Morgan, and she was didn't want anything to do with him. She was like, "Get away from me." She didn't want to talk to him at all. And, like, he didn't care that Mallory was missing. Because she was, like, upset because she was like, "Get away from me. Like, I'm fine, but Mallory's missing." And all this kind of stuff. And it just didn't register with them that, like, she was missing.
Miley says several minutes passed before the kids even think to call 911.
Because I noticed there was, like, a pathway to the road.
Eventually, Miley says she finds an old fisherman's path that leads them from under the bridge to the main road. They've crashed literally at the entrance to Paris Island. It's where the Marine Corps trains its new recruits. It's now a few minutes before 2:30 a.m. Connor finally reaches Beaufort County Dispatch.
What bridge is it? Paul, what bridge is this?
I don't know what the fuck you're gonna do.
Paul, what bridge?
911, where's your emergency? Hello? Police, fire, EMS. Hello?
I started down in the boat, yeah, but Morgan was screaming so loud, so I had to walk up to the top of the hill to hear the lady, so she could hear me over Morgan screaming.
We're in a boat crash on Archer Street.
Where about on Archer Street?
In Archer Street, the only bridge on Archer Street.
She kept asking me where I was, and I kept telling her over and over, and she would say different places.
Archer Street?
Archer's Creek.
Archer's Creek. Archer's Creek.
Is it?
Okay.
And I'd say no, Archer's Creek, and it was just chaos, the whole conversation.
What's going on?
It's by Paris Island.
Right. What's going on?
We're in a boat crash.
You know what kind of a
boat crash.
Did you say a boat crash?
A boat crash.
Okay, so you're at, are you at the dock? Hello, are you at the dock?
No, we just crashed in a boat.
Okay, are you in the water or are you?
We're in the boat.
Okay.
We have someone missing.
Okay, hang on 1 second, okay?
All right, Bob. Archer's Creek.
Archer's Creek, correct?
Paul, what is this? Paul, what is this bridge called?
Okay,
Paul.
Where? How far?
Please send someone.
No, I'm coming. We're coming. Okay. See. Well, how far off? So where are you?
In Archer's Creek.
Right, how far out?
There's only one bridge in Archer's Creek.
You're by the bridge?
There's only one bridge in Archer's Creek.
Is this a mixed
boat? But there are a ton of bridges in this part of the Lowcountry.
10 for engine 3 en route to the water emergency at 2200 Ribout Road at the Bell Bridge. Reference to a boat that had crashed into the bridge. 6 people on board. One person is missing, a 19-year-old female. At least one person with injuries. Some of the victims will be near the guard shack.
At 2:47 a.m., 20 minutes after Connor's initial call, firefighters and EMS head to Bell Bridge. Now, that's the wrong bridge. The kids crashed into the Berkeley Bridge over Archer's Creek.
So we've got one person missing off a boat.
Yes. Let me make sure. Hold on. 19-year-old female, possible injuries. We're about to on fire for it as well.
Okay. All right, so we've got one person presumably in the water missing, correct?
Yes. I'm not sure if this injured female is one that was missing or not.
Because when it kept saying bridge, we were going with Bell Bridge because we didn't get a real...
No.
It wasn't the Russell Bell Bridge.
And the Russell Bell Bridge, it's 1.5 miles from the crash site.
Can you find out exactly where the boat is located? Dispatch, this is a time one. Did you say the location was the victim, again, was the Battery Creek boat landed? What was it? I didn't understand the address you were giving us.
Tifo Battalion 1, the location is going to be down Malecon Drive right before you get to the traffic circle going on to Paris Island.
EMS reports that it doesn't reach the scene until about 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, what should have been about 7 minutes, according to the average response time for emergencies here in the U.S., took 3 times that. Precious time is now lost. Severe fog, well, now that threatens any real hope for Mallory's rescue.
Do we know what happened?
Apparently they were, from what I'm told by the officer, the female was sitting on the boyfriend's lap when they hit the bridge at a high rate of speed.
So they hit the bridge at a high rate of speed.
And she fell off.
Meanwhile, Paul is heard begging at the scene of the crash for a phone. He wants to call his grandfather, Randolph Murdoch III.
Can I use your phone?
Yes.
Can I use your phone?
Hey, bro, I ain't got my phone on me, brother.
You ain't got your phone on you.
And remember, he's one of the most powerful and well-connected lawyers in the entire state.
I think he walked back down the grass, maybe, and sat on the grass, just in his underwear, and he just, didn't say anything besides just wanting to call his granddad, just let me call my granddad, and he took my phone.
Caitlin Penter is a reporter who covered the fatal boat crash out of Savannah. She also notices Paul's apparent detachment.
Immediately after they crashed, he wasn't even concerned that one of his friends was missing and was not in the boat with them because he was so erratic in his behavior.
That's when Anthony sees Paul come up to the main road. Anthony is in the back of Deputy Stephen Domino's squad car.
Talking about that one with no shirt on. Hey, do not. I don't want you getting in trouble. You hear me? Listen to me. Don't get in no trouble. You hear what I said? Mom's on the way. I told her I'm gonna keep listening.
Let me drive.
I'm hanging with you to your mom. It's here, okay?
That motherfucker ain't rushing the fucking crib.
You're not in trouble.
What rig you on, man?
He ain't gonna get no fucking trouble.
Oh, yes.
Bro, you fucking smiling like it's fucking funny.
Sit down.
My fucking girlfriend's gone, bro.
Sit down.
You think it's fucking funny?
Sit down.
Hope he's right fucking hell.
Sit down.
Is somebody put him in the car? The one with the towel?
Go ahead.
Miley recalls the fight between Anthony and Paul after the crash.
Anthony was about to, if the officers weren't holding him back, he would have, unleashed on Paul. He would have, fought him, I feel like, because he was just, because I think Paul came to Connor and, wrapped his blanket around him, and I was standing right there next to him, and Paul, smiled or something, and Anthony saw him smile, and he was like, you think this is funny, and all this kind of stuff, and he, was, about to, go and, fight him because he was that mad because he was, smiling about it.
The officers ask, was Paul behind the wheel of the boat?
We need to know exactly who was driving. That's, you said that was the last one you saw, so that's what I told them, because his ass will be responsible, okay?
Hey, I'm with Department of Natural Resources. Who was driving the boat?
Right, I'll fix up.
The last time I grabbed my girlfriend and got down in the bottom of the boat, Paul was driving.
Paul was driving?
Yes. I begged and begged and begged and begged to let me drive.
Hold on a second.
But in a moment of terrifying clarity, Anthony asks the officer, do you know the Murdochs?
Do y'all know Alec Murdoch?
Oh, yeah, I know that name.
That's his son.
That's so driving the boat.
Good luck.
When they get there, EMS tries to check Paul out for any injuries.
Hey, buddy. You gonna check out my neighbor?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Sure? I think we still get checked out, right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I mean, yeah. What's your name?
Hey, what's your last name, buddy?
Murdoch.
M-U-R-D-A-U-G-H. Okay, what's your first name?
Paul.
Paul
P-A-U-L. Connor says that Paul finally gets his grandfather, Randolph, on the phone. According to Connor, Paul tells Randolph he was not behind the wheel when the boat crashed. Instead, Connor says Paul tries to pin it on him.
Well, he told him that we'd been in a boat wreck and whatever, and he went to say, I heard his granddad asked him who was driving, and he told his granddad that I was. Well, my nickname, Cotton Top. Me and Miley looked at each other. We was just shaking our heads.
While all this was happening, Beaufort County EMS Supervisor Kevin Flick had arrived at the scene. Flick tells officers that Paul was only wearing his underwear, acting very belligerent and not cooperating with EMS. Flick said he told Paul to stay put because he kept trying to get out of the ambulance.
EMS 10, EMS 1.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Are y'all transporting anybody?
Affirm, we're bringing three.
Here's Miley again.
The lady, the EMS lady was like, listen, like, if you don't calm down, she had gotten mad at this point, and she was like, listen, if you don't calm down, we'll put you, like, we're going to have to restrain you and put you in handcuffs and take you to jail right now because he wouldn't cooperate. And then they finally got him to sit down, and took all of our blood pressures, and he was still, like, you know, just saying, like, all this stuff, and...
All of what stuff?
Just, like, being rude, just, like, talking back to people. And so they strapped him down on the stretcher before we left. So, like, strapped him down, like, put all these wires on him and stuff. And then me and Connor were sitting in the seat that was, like, the biggest out of, like, two people's seat.
The EMS driver that took Paul and Connor and Miley to the hospital described Paul as loud and argumentative. He said he just wanted to know where his girlfriend Morgan was. Morgan was already on the way for surgery on her injured hand. In fact, Paul was so drunk and agitated that EMS reports that two sheriff's deputies had to get Paul in the ambulance and one of the officers had to ride in the back. And when Paul did arrive at Beaufort Memorial, well, Paul's nurse said he was one of the most arrogant teenagers to come through the emergency room. She said he told her, "Y'all should be doing your jobs and looking for my friend." The ER tech that night, Laura Kent, described the scene as a weird, corny teen drama movie. She told one of the lead investigators that Paul made wildly inappropriate comments.
So when I asked him for a urine sample, he smiled at me and asked if I was going to hold it for him. And when I went back into the room, he pointed to my butt and said, "Oh, wow, that's nice."
Investigators for DNR show up at the hospital. They're going to interview Paul, but that interview is cut short. Paul's father, Alec, and grandfather had arrived. Alec immediately told law enforcement his son, Paul, would not make any statements because he was drunk. Not only that, despite the fact that Mallory is missing, the lawyers tell DNR they're going to need a warrant to search the boat the teens had been in, which Alec owned. Meanwhile, security at the front desk is called to assist the nurses with Paul. When one guard got back to the ER, he says he overheard Paul's grandfather tell the boy to just shut the f*** up. Another security guard said Paul's grandfather was very aggravated with him and at one point said out loud, "Paul is drunk as Cooter Brown." Now that's a reference to a story of a coward who stayed drunk throughout the Civil War so he wouldn't be called up to fight. Hospital security told officers that they kept on rerouting Alec back into his son's room. There are multiple accounts by the hospital staff that Alec was trying to get into the other kids' rooms. The triage nurse says Alec was looking at the ER tracking board, which lists all the patients' rooms. He was walking up and down the hallways and in and out of the lobby. She says he seemed to be trying to orchestrate everyone to get on the same page. Both the triage nurse and a security guard say they overhear Alec talking on the phone to someone. He says, "She's gone, baby. She's gone. Don't worry about her." And tells the person on the other line he loves them. The staff assumed it's his wife. The charge nurse would tell investigators that she warns Paul's father, Alec, to go back to his son's room or leave the ER. In her report, she said she could smell alcohol on Alec's breath. It's well into the early morning hours at this point. The hospital staff said Morgan, Paul's girlfriend, she explicitly told them to keep Alec out of her room. But the ER tech says Alec approached Connor on the way to his CT scan. He'd broken his jaw and would soon be on his way to MUSC for surgery.
I also heard Paul's father stop Connor on his way to CT. He kept telling him not to say anything, that he would take care of it.
When DNR asked Connor to write out a statement that night, he deflected.
We were heading down Archer's Creek, heading towards Broad River, and I remember seeing the bridge. That's about it.
Connor tells the beach master of the Beaufort Water Rescue over the phone.
I was not driving the boat, and I don't know who was driving the boat. You need to talk to my mother. I'm at the hospital.
And now we know. Later, Connor tells investigators that's when Paul's father, Alec, told him to keep quiet about who was driving the boat when it crashed.
Everything was going to be all right. I just needed to keep my mouth shut and tell them I didn't know who was driving and that he's got me.
Why would he do that if he wasn't driving?
Well, I was told not to, and being who they are, I was doing as I was told.
The Murdochs were who they are, lawyers, prosecutors, a powerful legal family. And then there were the rumors.
There's a couple of things that happened in Hampton that I heard about. Well, one was said that Paul had pushed his housemate down the stairs and she died. Nothing ever happened. And another one, there was something that Paul was supposedly involved with. The guy got found beat up in the middle of the road and they got out of it.
Now that's Connor. He's referring to both Gloria Satterfield and Stephen Smith's deaths in the same breath in a court record. A deposition taken 17 months before Paul and Maggie are murdered and these stories hit the front pages. And Anthony, his cousin, would later tell DNR investigators that Connor was scared.
Connor was not driving the boat. The Murdochs are out to pin it on him.
Anthony also told them that Connor is very scared of coming forward because of the Murdochs being able to get away with things and that nothing will happen if Connor talks to law enforcement. In other words, justice was not going to be served. Here's Caitlin.
I think it definitely makes more sense why community members, even at that time, were so apprehensive in speaking with the media, because clearly, you know, they knew who this family was and they knew that this family was involved in other stuff.
So far, both Miley and Anthony have alluded to the fact that Paul was driving the boat. But at first, Morgan, Paul's girlfriend, tells DNR officers a different story. Morgan tells Officer Austin Pritcher Connor was driving because Paul was too drunk to drive. As she is walking out of the hospital the next morning, she tells another officer, Michael Brock from DNR, that she thought Connor Cook was driving, but she said she was just assuming.
I was in surgery for 2 hours when I got out. Alec Murdoch tried to enter my room multiple times, but my nurse wouldn't allow him. In the hallway, he kept saying I was with him and they needed to tell me what to say. When I was discharged at 9 a.m., I went to the bridge and stayed there until 6 when they shut down the search. I have so much going through my head. Last night, it all started coming back to me. I have the strongest feeling Paul was driving.
Anthony Cook, he's still at the crash scene as the drama unfolds at the hospital. He tells an officer there,
me and Paul have been friends for a long time, but no more. I can't forgive him for this.
law enforcement was acting so suspicious in the immediate months following that crash that the whole time it was kind of like, you knew that it wasn't this other kid driving the boat, if that makes sense. You knew that it was Paul, and you knew that authorities knew that it was Paul who was driving the boat.
911, where's your emergency?
This is Kenny Campbell. We're on the search team rescue. We think we found her.
Unsolved South Carolina was brought to you by me, Ann Emerson, along with producer Drew Trupp and editor Daniel Michener. Original music by Maxwell Harrison. Coming up next week.
This is the worst police investigation of all time, and I've been doing this 45 years. The fundamental things that police do when they arrive at an accident scene were not done here.
When evidence goes missing and the defendant is murdered.
Did they have any enemies?
I really don't know of any enemies. You hear all this talk on the, you know, social media with regard to Paul, but I don't know of anybody
that would truly
be an enemy or truly want to harm them.
If you enjoyed listening today, please consider rating and reviewing. It goes a long way to help others discover this podcast.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.